I want to think a bit about the phrase the God of Jacob, because it's very, very common in the Bible. It seems that God chooses to identify himself as the God of Jacob more than the God of anybody else. So the phrase the God of Jacob occurs about 25 times. God of Abraham occurs 17 times, God of Isaac 8 times, God of David 4 times. But God renamed Jacob as Israel. And whenever you read about Israel, well, that is based upon the man Israel, or Jacob. And when you look at the phrase, the God of Israel, well, you've got 201 times. And as I say, Israel, in God's mind, I'm sure, was primarily the man whom we know as Jacob. God called him Israel, although Jacob struggled, I think, to accept that. And so why is there this huge sort of divine preference throughout the Bible to identify himself as the God of Jacob or Israel? Even if you say that, well, Israel, yeah, well, God sort of understood the people, all right, fair enough, but then the God of Jacob is clearly many times more than any other person, the God of, as I say, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of David. God prefers to be known as this God of Jacob. Well, I think it all starts with Genesis 28, when Jacob is running away from his brother Esau, and he's 77 years old, it seems. So he's not a completely young man, even by the ages of those times. And he comes to Bethel, what was later to be called that. He has the dream, and God says, I will be with you. And he wakes up and says, if you will be with me, then Yahweh shall be my God. And I always think that that's a really poor sort of attitude, really. For one thing, it indicates that he did not accept Yahweh as his God at that point. And he's saying, well, if you bring me back to my father's house in peace, then you will be my God, and I will give a tenth unto you. Well, it strikes me as very mean. I would have thought you should sell your soul for God, not say, yeah, I'll give you a tenth. It sounds incredibly mean, especially for someone who was fairly wealthy and from a wealthy family. Anyway, he says that, and then for the rest of his life, he always talks about the God of my father Isaac. And even other people say that to him. The God of your father was with me the other night, Laban says. So he was known as, when it came to religious stuff, as believing in the God of his father. He's very careful to never identify Yahweh as his God until he's pretty much at the end of his life. And then he calls his sons together in Genesis 49, and he's like a kid with a new toy. He keeps talking about God as his God. He talks about, he says to Joseph, the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. This is Jacob speaking. So he's glorying in the fact that God is my God. He says, yep, God fed me all my life long. Didn't just bring me back to my father's house in peace. He was with me all the way through. And he talks about the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And remember that Israel is Jacob. And he himself is saying this. So he's accepting at the very end, this God is my God. And I think you see there how long it takes some people to get to spiritual maturity. He lived a very long life, and yet at the end of it only, does he really come to move beyond, if you like, Sunday school Christianity, the God of my fathers, the faith of my fathers. And he himself accepts that God is my God. This God is my God. And I think that God was so thrilled by this that all through the rest of the Bible, he keeps talking about the God of Jacob. I am the God of Jacob. And I think it's to encourage us, because God sees that we are not that far removed from Jacob. We also are very slow in our spiritual development. And this is why Micah 4 verse 2 says that people will be attracted to this God of Jacob. They will say, come, let's go to the house of the God of Jacob. it will be attractive to them. And it is also attractive to us now that God stuck with Jacob, even though he was like he was. He was the God of mixed up, struggling Jacob. That's why Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, God is not ashamed to be surnamed the God of Jacob. And I think Hebrews 11 verse 16, that's what the Greek text really means. God is not ashamed to be surnamed the God of Jacob, as if we put the name of the God of Jacob along with our name. And I think Paul is alluding there to Isaiah 44 verse 5, where one will say, I am Yahweh's, and another will be called by the name of Jacob, and another will write with his hand, quote, to Yahweh, and honour the name of Israel. Well, I think that Jacob and Israel are being put by a sort of a metonymy for the God of Jacob. I think we're intended to read in the ellipsis. The text says, one will say, I am Yahweh's, and another will be called by the name of Jacob. Now, what it means is, will be called by the name of the God of Jacob. And another will write with his hand, quote, to Yahweh, and honour the name of Israel, the name of the God of Israel. That's the idea. But Jacob and Israel are put there by a sort of a metonymy for the God of Jacob and the God of Israel to show how closely identified God is with Jacob and Israel. And so this then is the great comfort, I think, that God is the God of mixed up, very slowly maturing Jacob. God is the God of Israel, of the man who was named Israel but struggled to accept it, the man who wrestled with God and yet finally comes to it, comes to him, and converts his Sunday school Christianity into a real living relationship and accepts him as wonderfully true for me. And God was thrilled with that. And so he calls himself, as I say many times, the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, and other people likewise take comfort from that. And people like David in the Psalms, Psalm 114 and elsewhere, talk about the God of Jacob and the God of Israel as if it's a comfort that, yep, God was the God of Jacob, and he's my God too.